Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you. Today we're going to start out with our favorite verse. The favorite verse that protects us, takes care of us, keeps us from sickness and sin and everything, and gives us a long life. And it's Psalms 91. We're going to read all 16 verses. Cheryl is going to read all 16 verses of Psalm 91. If you've got your Bible, we'll give you just a minute to turn over there to Psalm 91. You need to follow along with Psalm 91. The more of this you can put in your heart and your head, the better off you're going to be. You need to believe this stuff. Never ceases to amaze me the number of people that come up and, just like Dave just did, he quoted a verse that cannot, God cannot lie. Matthew 18:19. Again, and it's so difficult to even remember. Isn't it, Miss Jackie? No, it's not difficult to remember. Again, if just two of you on earth. Now, that's the only requirement. You can't be out there in space, like Dave said. You can't be out there flying around in a spaceship. You got to be on earth. I mean, now let's get it, let's draw it right down to like it really is. Two of you on earth agree about what? Anything. Or can we agree that you're well? Can we agree with you that you feel good? Can we agree that I'm delivered? Yes. I mean, can we agree on that? Yes. Okay, if we do, then it's done. You know, don't start saying, well, I'm not sure that'll work. If I do that, will the devil get rid of me? Do I have to worry about the devil anymore? No, you don't have to worry about nothing if you believe what we just said. Amen. But that's the problem. I mean, everywhere I go, all over the world, that's the problem. People don't believe. They don't believe. But anyway, in a few minutes, we're going to tell you some wonderful testimonies about what happens when you do believe. But Cheryl's going to read right now to start off with our wonderful favorite verse of Psalm 91. And listen closely.
Psalm 91. El que habita al abrigo del Altísimo se acoge a la sombra de todo poderoso.
What are you doing?
We have a new Spanish card. So if anybody needs a Spanish card, you didn't know I could read Spanish? 4 años en escuela.
What language were you reading in?
That was Spanish.
She was speaking in tongues.
That was Spanish. Oh, and my own interpretation.
Now we have Spanish cards. Okay, I was going to say that was a new one on me. I didn't know that was a...
Yeah, well, you know how it is, honey. There's a lot you don't know about me.
Wow, there is.
I know. Well, I had 4 years of Spanish in school from the eighth grade, eighth grade through junior.
That was in Spanish?
That was Spanish. You want me to read it one more time?
No. It's okay. I don't speak Spanish, so I don't understand Spanish.
Okay,
so
here's Psalm 91.
Don't do me no good.
God's prayer of protection. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Let me ask this hard question one more time. How many of you believe what she just said is true? Okay, if you really believe that it's true, then if you take verse 1, what does verse 1 say you need to do this week? What does that mean to dwell in a secret place with the Most High? Get in the Word. I mean, you crawl in under that cover, pull the sheet over your head, and take that Word and snuggle up with it. And I guarantee that Word will do all those things for you if you will snuggle up with the Lord and you'll meditate on His Word. Won't it? Amen. It will work. But you've got to believe it, you know, and the problem is, just like Dave said a while ago, something that we do all the time, and I'm going to tell you just a couple little testimonies about things that happened while we were up there. Last year when we went to Des Moines, there was a couple that came down, and this couple sat right here, and they had a young man sitting right here, and I see, what was his name?
His name was John. Their name is Dave and Sherry Hughes.
Yeah, John. Okay, the boy's name was John. And when I met him at the hotel that morning before Friday night speaking, we were staying at the Marriott Fairfield there, and this couple came in, and they recognized me, and they come over, and he said, "We came down from Minnesota, and I need you to pray over me tonight." And I said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, "Well, I now found out he's 42. I didn't know how old he was, but now I found out while I was this week he was 42. He said, "I have a cancer in my right hip, in my groin area." And he says, "The doctor said the minimum thing they'll have to do is amputate my right leg." I don't know about you, but that don't even sound inviting to me at all. You know, to cut off my right leg, and maybe that don't do the problem, then they're going to cut more. And that means if they have to start cutting any more in here, that means you're fixing to die. Yep. So anyway, I talked to them a little while at the hotel, and then I told them, I said, "Well, I've got to go get ready for church tonight." So I said, "Y'all come expecting your miracle." So whenever they were there, they came. When they got there that night, the place was completely packed. There wasn't a spare seat in the house nowhere except three seats right here on the front row. They came down and sat right here on the front row. That's the only seat left in the house. Otherwise, you got to sit on the floor. So I began to teach the principles of the kingdom. Confess your sin. When you confess your sin, I mean, it is very clear in 1 John 1:9. We put that up there to look at that, 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sin, what does that say, Kim?
If we confess our sins, notice, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So it doesn't make any difference what you've done, how wicked you've been.
That's right.
If you come to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you, He will.
Absolutely.
And then He'll restore you to fellowship.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, that's the first thing you do. And you confess your sin. You get rid of your sin. And then I begin to teach him the principles of the kingdom about healing. I say, "Now, let me show you something here." I said, "Here's a verse up here. I want to show you this wonderful verse." First of all, I said, are you a Christian? He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Do you go to church?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Do you believe Jesus heals every time?" He said, "Well, I'm not sure of that." Well, I got some work to do now. Because if this boy don't believe God's word, then he's going to have trouble getting healed. So I told him, I said, "Well, I'm going to show you a promise." And one of them was that Matthew 18:19 that Dave just talked about. And again, I said, "Let me ask you this question. And let's take Matthew 18:19. I said, "Put it on the board, and I want you to read that." So he put that on the board, and Matthew 18:19, and he read, what does it say?
"Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven."
I said, "You're one, and I'm one. I'm in complete agreement with you that you're healed. Are you in agreement with me?" And he said, "Well, I guess so." I said, "No, that you ain't got it. You didn't get it." I said, "Let's try another one." I said, "God didn't just put one in there." I said, "He put lots of promises." I said, "Let's try John 14:12. I said, "Do you know what Jesus did while he was here on earth?" "Oh," he said, "yeah, Jesus did everything. Everything." I said, "What do you mean by everything?" I said, "Did he control the weather?" "Oh, yes." "Did he control the waves?" "Yes." Did he heal the sick?" "Yes." "Did he cast out demons?" "Yes." He said he did all those things. I said, well, okay, then let's go to John 14:12 and let's see what John 14:12 says I can do.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also.
Wow. I said, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a believer. Are you a believer? He said, and these signs shall follow those that believe. I said, I'm a believing believer. You're looking right at a believing believer that believes he can do everything Jesus did on this earth because Christ lives in me, the hope of glory. I said, do you believe you can do those kind of things? You believe you can heal the sick? You believe I can lay hands on you and you get well? He said, I'm not sure. I said, you ain't got it. You ain't got it. I said, we need a little more, don't we, Paula?
Yes, sir.
We still need to go on a little further here. I said, now then let's see what the next two verses say. Right under it, John 14:12. Let's see what 13 and 14 says. What'd that say, hon? I'm waiting.
Okay. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it.
You believe that?
Amen.
How many of you in here believe that? Okay, praise the Lord. I believe that. So then I walked over there to him and I looked him right in the eye and I said, do you believe that? He looked at that again. He looked at that on the board and he says, you know, but what if the answer is not yes for me? I said, you still don't have it. You hadn't got it. What is that scripture? 2 Corinthians 1:20? There's a scripture called 2 Corinthians 1:20. Let's see what that says. I mean, you know, let's just take this word now. I'm talking to this young man. He's got a cancer in his right leg. They're fixing to cut his leg off, and chances are he's going to die. So I'm really preaching as if he's the only one in the place tonight.
For all the promises of God in him, Jesus, are yea, and in him, Jesus, amen, unto the glory of God by us.
I said, okay, son, read that to me again. And he read it again. I said, okay, now do you believe that? And he looked at that and he says, sir, that's pretty awesome. I said, but do you believe it? Well, I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
I mean, you see what's wrong with us?
Yes.
Miss Paula, how long were you sick?
Almost
20 years.
Yes, sir.
And you, Miss Betty sent you out here, didn't she?
Yes.
And she said, you know, if you need to get healed, you need to go out here to the Living Savior Church. They preach healing out there.
Yes, she did.
And so you come out here, and the first Sunday, you didn't get it.
No.
And the second Sunday, you didn't get it.
No.
For about a month, you didn't get it.
No.
And then about 3 months or so into it.
I got it.
Yeah. I think Mike and Gracie was dealing with her. Weren't y'all the ones that dealt with her, Mike? And they kept doing what at the prayer time, we would take, of course, we got prayer warriors here, and we've trained them to do these things and taught them the Word of God. And so they will get with somebody like Miss Paula and Gracie and Mike. They're one of those prayer teams. And they would take these principles and they would go over and over and over these things to get rid of your sin and believe these promises. And then finally one day,
got it.
You got it.
Yes, they prayed with me.
And after being sick for 21 years, you got healed?
Yes, sir. Amen.
And now you've been healed. How long, honey?
It'd be 2 years. Well, it was 2 years this past March.
2 years. Over 2 years. You see, when the Lord says in His Word, He said, I sent my...
It was a year this last March. I'm sorry.
Oh, a year. Yes, okay. Okay, so a couple.
I felt so good so long.
Yeah. Well, it's wonderful to feel good, isn't it?
Absolutely.
After you felt terrible for 20 years,
yes. Very sick.
It's so awesome,
yes.
to believe.
Yes.
So he sent his what to heal you? What did God send? He sent his word.
Yes.
So in other words, whenever we're talking about laying hands on the sick and all that kind of stuff, you know, that seems to be the most difficult thing in the world. I don't know why that we don't believe. I just don't know why. But if we don't believe, it don't work, does it?
No.
He sent his word. And then he says, lay hands on the sick. And of course, as Dave and I, that scripture and all he was talking about there a while ago, I've told this many times, but some of you have never heard this. Dave and I and 3 or 4 other guys went over to Home Depot to get some materials. We was working on this church at the time. And while we were there, we started to check out and had a whole bunch of stuff on our carts. We had several carts of stuff. And there was a little Spanish girl that was, you got to remember, the reason I say Spanish or white or black or whatever, I just want you to know that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care I mean, one time you hear me talk about a brown person, next time you hear me talk about a red person, you hear me talk about a black person, a white person. With God, it makes no difference. You know, but so I want you to know the reason I use different things like that, this little Spanish woman, to let you know that God is no respecter of persons. He'll heal the Spanish, he'll heal the red, he'll heal the yellow, the black, the blue, purple, green, anything you, it don't matter what you've done to yourself, he will fix you.
Amen.
And in fact, yesterday as we was leaving up there, I saw a girl, a woman, that got on the airplane. She had on a tank top of some kind, and she had tattoos all over her body. It was awful. I thought, how this woman has ruined her body. And this is going to be there for at least a month after she's dead. And then when the body deteriorates completely, those things will fall off of her. But that's the only way she's going to get rid of them. But I thought, wow. But anyway, whenever you, when you learn how to lay hands on the sick, like we did at the Home Depot that day, Dave knows how to lay hands on the sick. He knows how to pray for the sick. He, I mean, because he got healed. You know, Dave was only sick for 40 years. He made yours kind of feel little, didn't he? You were 40 or 20 years. He was 40 over 40 years before he got healed. Now he's been healed about 10 or 15 years, so he's hanging in there. So he knows healing works. But anyway, as we were leaving Home Depot, this little Spanish lady was there, and she was all leaned over with her hand in her head like this. And Dave said, "Ma'am, is there something wrong with you?" And she said, "Oh, yes, sir." Said, "I have a splitting migraine headache." Well, she was kind of turned to my back. She was looking at Dave. And so as soon as she said that, well, being the man of faith that I am, I'm reaching for her to touch her, because I know in the name of Jesus, all I got to do is touch her. Did Jesus just touch Peter's mother and she got healed?
Yes, sir.
That's all. He just touched her. So I know that's all I got to do. Now, there's different places you touch them with both hands, but that case just touched them with one hand. So anyway, she, as I'm reaching for her, and she can't see me because I'm behind her, as I'm reaching over, Dave said, "Well, ma'am, can we pray for you?" And she says, "No." I mean, the instant she said no, I touched her. I said, "Oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. It's too late. I already touched you in the name of Jesus, so I guarantee you have no more headache."
Amen.
And when the Lord says, when I touch somebody, I got to believe with no doubt in my heart, right?
No doubt.
That woman turned around and she looked at Dave and she says, "He's right. My headache is gone." And so she went ahead and checked us out and everything. And I told Dave, I said, "Well, Dave, it's really nice to be a gentleman like you were." But I said, in that case, it pays good dividends for her that I wasn't the gentleman. I didn't wait for her to say, "You can," because if I'd have had to waited and she says no, then I'd have had to honor her request. But see, I've already touched her. It's too late. But I touched her in faith, didn't I? Don't you love seeing Jesus do great things? I love seeing the Master show do all these things. So anyway, we're back to this boy over here in Minneapolis now, and he's still there. John? Yeah, John, and we're talking to him about different promises, and I keep going over promises, and I said, "Young man," I didn't know his name, so I said, "Young man, I want you to take this scripture that Dave had on the board there a while ago, Mark 16, 17, and 18, and again, I want to show you something there that's so simple. Mark 16, 17, and 18, what does it really say? In fact, a guy asked me in the teaching. He said, "I want to know that first line. What does that mean?" Well, read it. What does the first line say?
"And these signs shall follow them that believe."
Now then, he said, "I don't understand why it says these will follow those that believe." I said, "Well, son, there is people that call themselves Christians that are believers, and then there's those people that call themselves Christians that are unbelievers." He said, "That doesn't make sense to me." I said, "But that's the way it is." I said, "You know, you can go down there. I can take this young lady right here. I can remember a few years ago when she came to one of the teachings over in Dallas, and she's a Christian. She was there with her husband. You know, they believed in Jesus, but they didn't know nothing about healing." And so whenever I said, "Okay, you know, I'm now going to give an invitation that anybody wants to be healed," I said, "Y'all come up here, right here on the platform." And I said, "I'm going to touch you, and Jesus is going to heal you." And I started inviting people to come up, and people, about probably 25 or 30 or whatever, people came up in the line, and they got up there, and this young lady, she said, "Now, wait a minute, if I go up there, I saw TV where they push people down." So she said, "I don't want to be pushed down, so I ain't going up there." So she didn't come up. But Jesus loved her so much, even out of her rebellion of not willing to come up and get prayed for. What did God do for you, Kim?
He healed me right away.
He healed her right there in the church. And that's been how many years ago?
Yeah, at least 13 years.
13 years ago? And she's been healed ever since, hasn't she, Scott?
Yes.
That's right.
And well, and since then, you healed a lot of people in the name of Jesus yourself, have you not? Yeah, he's done a lot for you. You know, just think of the things, how simple God made it. Kim had had a back trouble for many years?
7 years.
7 years. She'd had a back trouble for 7 years. I mean, she was in excruciating pain all the time. All she had to do at her seat was say, "Lord, I want to be healed. Lord, I don't want to go up there because I don't understand this." And he knows that, see. He knew where she was. He knows everything. So he didn't have her get up and do something. He didn't. And I've never, ever, ever shoved anybody down that I pray for. I've never done that. I've never had anybody fall under the power that I pray for. But I have seen thousands of people healed when I pray for them.
Amen.
I mean, thousands of them. So you don't have to fall down to get healed. Now, I will have to say, I did have a lady that come out here from another ministry that, unfortunately, that was in the Metroplex for a while, and she came out here and wanted me to pray for her back like I prayed for your back, because whenever she was prayed for in this other church, they pushed her, and she fell down, and there was no catcher behind her, so she really hit the ground hard, and it hurt her back really bad. And so we had to repent for sin and getting mad at the people that did it and all that kind of stuff. And then we prayed the prayer of faith and she got well. So that's why I don't do anything rough or abusive. I just want to be gentle as I can be and all. I mean,
two fingers.
Be healed? Is that difficult?
No.
Did that knock her down?
No.
No. Did it get her healed?
Yes.
Yes, it got her healed. Guaranteed. You know, she got it because she believed. That day, sitting there at the church, believing, whenever I'm up here on the platform praying for people, Kim, which wouldn't even come up for prayer, gets prayed for, or gets healed without even being prayed for. She just asked the Lord to touch her, and he did. Because he was back there while I was up here. Yeah, but he was up here too, wasn't he, Miss Jackie? He's everywhere. So anyway, this young boy up there in Minneapolis, I kept going over different scriptures. Continue to read there in Mark 16, wherever we were there, honey.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils.
Wait a minute. It says we can do what?
Cast out devils.
Now then, if he's got cancer in his body, let me tell you, he's got a devil. He's got a demon. That's what that is. Some people say, a Christian can't have a demon. Of course you can have a demon. It's real simple. Anybody can have a demon. I mean, they'll make you sick, they'll afflict you, they'll torment you. I mean, they just do all kinds of things, and this one happened to have one. So he says this boy has a demon, and what did he say that we can do to those demons? So how do you do that? How do you do that, Mike? You just talk to them, right? You don't have to scream or nothing like that, do you? Well, sure. Yeah, see, Mike knows he has all power and authority, and he knows when he speaks to a demon, the demon has got to go. And so that scripture right there, when we know this, when we know that we have all power and all authority, what Cheryl just said, "In these signs shall follow those that believe in my name, you shall cast out demons." Now, I've seen people scream and jump up and down and holler and everything else trying to get a demon out. You really don't have to do all that. You know, you just bring them up there and say, "Demon, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to remit this person's sins." Now, when I tell you this, I'm telling you that one time when Cheryl and me and Dave were all through, in fact, his wife was with us that trip. We were out in Silver City, New Mexico, and there was a woman needed to be healed. She had a problem in her chest here, stomach and all this stuff. And now when I began to talk to her, I said, "You know, I'm sure we got a demon here." And so when I commanded the demons not to manifest, and I commanded them to leave, they did not do what I asked them to do. They totally were rebellious and wouldn't do it because she had a sin in her life had not been taken care of. And so they said, "We have legal right to be here. we're not leaving. And I said, well, how many of you are in there? They said, there's 2,823 of us in here. And of course, that didn't intimidate me at all, because I know, just like Mike said a while ago, we have all power and all authority over these spirits. So I have no problem driving. Then, of course, then I told her, I said, well, if you're going to confess the sin, they said, we're not going to let her confess the sin. We're so interwoven in her brain. We will never allow her to confess that sin. I said, well, in that case, I'll take John 20:23. Almost nobody I know today on the face of the earth believes this scripture, but it's still written in God's Word. John 20:23. What does John 20:23 say?
Whosoever sins I remit or forgive, they are forgiven or remitted.
If we forgive somebody's sin, it's done, right?
Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained.
Just think. Do you realize that inside of you is living the King of Kings? Is that scripture? This is a mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world. Christ in Bill, the hope of glory. Wasn't that right, Bill? Christ in you. If Christ is in you, He's in you, isn't He, Miss Paula? He's in you, Miss Betty. He's in there. So Jesus Christ is living inside of us, and He is the greatest power on earth. So, but we don't really believe that. But if you really get to the point where you do believe it, you can cast out these demons, you can heal the sick, you can cleanse the lepers, you can raise the dead. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Okay, read a little more there, that scripture.
They shall speak with new tongues.
Okay, she'll speak with new tongues. And some people do that, some people don't, but okay.
They shall take up serpents.
Just like Dave said, I'm the only guy that he knows that actually grabs the serpents, the real serpents, by their tail and throws them away. Dave don't like to do that, but I've done that. In fact, here a while back, there was a great big snake. Cheryl and I walked across the road to my son's house, and we were walking back across there, and that white gravel that's there was a great big old snake about that long, crawling along on the gravel. Cheryl looked, she said, oh my goodness, there's a snake. And I said, okay, I picked up some rocks and started throwing at him. And he ran in underneath a tree there, a little bush that's down close to the ground, and so I couldn't hit him with a rock no more. He's all curled up there. And so I ran in the house and grabbed a little pistol, a little .22 pistol that we got there in the house. I ran in and got that, and I went out there and I shot down in that bush. And when I did, he come running out of the bush and started over to the other side of the house. So there was another man with me. We started running after this thing, and as I'm running along, of course, the snake crawls like this. Now, you talk about something trying to hit that with a .22 pistol. So it's only had a little 8 shot, so I run along beside him, you know. I'm shooting and shooting, and it seems like every time I shoot here, he's over there. Because I could not hit him. I finally used all 8 bullets, and I thought, well, I need some practice on target practice, I guess, because I'm sure not very good like I used to be. You know, when I was younger, boy, I mean, I could take a tin can, throw it up in the air, and draw my 6-shooter, and I could hit that thing 2 or 3 times before he got back to the ground. I used to really be a good shot when I was a younger boy, but I hadn't done any shooting with guns in years and years and years, and you get a little dull. So anyway, this snake starts to run into the grass right beside the foundation. So I don't even want him to get down there where I can't see him, so I just grab him by the tail. And when I grab him by the tail, start pulling him out. He don't like that at all. And so anyway, he's flopping all over the place. And so I told the boys with me, I said, I'm going to throw him out there a little bit. And so I throw him out there a little ways, and I said, now then, we got to keep him away from the side of the house. And he said, well, Thurman, there's a sharpshooter shovel laying right there against the house. He ran over there and got that sharpshooter shovel, come back, and I'm herding that snake to keep him from getting up against the house. And he comes down with that shovel, hits that snake right behind the head. I mean, just cuts his head off.
Amen.
So this thing goes to flopping around all over the place. You know, he's dead, but he's flopping. And, you know, they just flop for a little while. So anyway, I reached down and picked him up by the tail, and he's still doing this, you know, and everybody's going nuts. You know, he's dead. His head's gone, you know. Ain't nothing he could do to hurt you or nothing. So, I mean, why should I be afraid of this beast? The scripture clearly says, and I can take up serpents. Is that what it said?
That's what it says.
I can tell the way Paula answered that. She don't believe that. Oh, my goodness gracious. So I tucked that snake out to the fence out there and throwed him over the fence and let the buzzards eat him later, you know. So, but, you know, that's most of the time, that really is not literally talking about the real snakes right there. That, the Word of God is a spiritual book. It's talking about demons, and we shall take up spiritual beings or demons. In other words, God has given, just like Mike said a while ago, He's given you and me all power and all authority over these demons. So when that says I can cast out demons, what else does it say, honey?
They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Just think, that if you take up the deadly, no deadly poison shall hurt you. Then if you were to get bit by a snake, that's a deadly poison in some snakes. You can claim that if you can stand it. If you can stand it, if you can believe it, you know, without getting into fear. You know, you got to remember when the Lord told him to walk on the water, did he walk on the water?
Yes, he did.
Until what happened?
Fear.
When the fear came in him, what happened to Peter? He starts sinking and he starts crying out, "Oh, Lord, save me. I'm going to drown in this water." And what did the Lord say to him? "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" But see, that's what happens to all of us all the time. When we finally convince Miss Paula of all these things, and she believes, when Mike and Gracie prayed for her, she got healed. Now she's been healed over a year, and she loves it, don't you, girl?
Yes.
Been sick for 20 years. Dave been sick for 40 years. So anyway, this guy up in Minneapolis, or in Des Moines, from Minneapolis, when I go over this scripture, I said, "Son, it says right there that I can command these spirits to leave you, and I lay hands on you, and you will recover." Is that what that said? So if I were to take my hands and put my hands on his and look him right now and say, "I command that spirit of rebellion, that spirit of hell, that spirit of curse, that spirit of unbelief and all those other wicked spirits to come out of you and leave you and go to the abyss," what do they got
to
do? And then I said, "Now then, Lord, I got both hands on him. You said for me to touch him and you'd heal him." I said, "Son, do you believe that?"
"Yes, I believe it."
That's what he said. "Oh," I said, "you got it. You finally believe it. You finally believe it." I said, "That's it, son. You got it." I said, "That's what I've been looking for." All this took us a good hour and a half, I'm sure, of all the different promises. I said, "It's yours. It's done." God says now in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he said, "But when you pray, you must believe with how much doubt?"
"No doubt."
You can't have no doubt. No doubt. You got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that no doubt. I believe it's done, and so it's done, and so there ain't no questions asked. So anyway, I said, "You've got it, son. I guarantee you've got it." And so I walked around. We prayed for a few people, done a few other things, and then I came back, and I said, "Okay, now we're going to pray for everybody in the place." I said, "You want to be first in line?" He said, "No, I don't need no prayer. I've already got it. I'm healed." Did he really believe? Yes, he did. And the couple that brought him were there last week when we were there. Last Thursday night and Friday night, they were there. And they sat right there in that same seat right beside another boy that brought had cancer in the throat. And whenever they had that cancer in the throat, the other boy had the cancer in his leg. I said, "The boy you brought last year that had the cancer in his leg," I said, "how's he doing?" They said, "Well, absolutely fantastically wonderful. There's not a cancer cell left in his body. He's healed." Now, the Word of God is true one more time. God sent His Word and healed you, right? He sent His Word and healed you, and He set you free. Now then, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to know this healing Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of real good testimonies. So these are not normal. These are supernatural normal. And they happened through Jeff and his ministry. Jeff has been, in fact, I'm going to tell you how Jeff came to us. About 6 years ago, the Lord put on Jeff's heart to come to the Living Savior Ministries in Texas and work with us. Now then, some of the people where he was working, you know, they said, "Well, have you called them yet to see if you can do that?" And he says, "No." But they said, "Well, don't you think it might be a good idea for you to call them, to ask them to see if they want you to come to work?" He said, "Well, I guess I will." Now see, on Friday night, Cheryl and I went downtown Dallas to a meeting, and there was a prophet there at that meeting. While we were there at that meeting, that prophet spoke up and said, Thurman, the Lord just spoke to me and told me to tell you he's fixing to send you an Assembly of God pastor from California to be a part of your ministry. I said, oh, he did. And then, so I didn't say anything. And a few minutes, he come back and he said, oh, by the way, that, you know, the Lord said he's going to send you enough extra money to pay him, too. I said, well, that would be nice. I'm sure, you know, everybody needs money to live, so that would be nice. I really didn't take a lot, you know, I didn't put a lot into that because I'm not into prophets too much myself. I've had too many prophets tell me things that didn't come to pass. So anyway, I'm not too much into prophecies. That's why I don't teach it very much, because I know it can work and it can fail. And so anyway, I thought, I just said, okay, you know, if God's going to send me, I'm ready. Well, I will have to say that next Tuesday when my phone rang and a young Assembly of God pastor from California called me and said, Pastor, this is Jeff Colder, and the Lord has laid on my heart that I come to be a part of your ministry. I said, well, fantastic. I'm an Assembly of God pastor from California. I said, have you got enough money to get here? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, just get in your car and come on. We'll put you to work when you get here. Now, isn't that amazing? Now, Jeff has been here for 6 years. And in that 6 years, I'm going to tell you a couple of awesome. Now, he's had many, many answers to prayer. But the two I'm going to tell you about is not normal. And these are not normal prayer requests. One of these prayer requests was a couple that had a child that had Down syndrome that was totally blind and could not talk. That's a pretty big one. Totally blind, cannot talk, cannot see. And Jeff talked to these people. I give him this chore to deal with this family, to find their sins, find out what they've done, and to get them to repent of their sins and to pray the prayer of faith for them. Jeff did that, and he found the sins of those people. He got them taken care of, and he prayed the prayer of faith for that little boy. And it was just a matter of months till that little boy could see. And then a matter of a few more months, he could see 20/20. And then that little boy, which couldn't talk at all, he could now talk completely normal. And today, which has only been 3 or 4 years or whatever, last 3 or 4 years ago, that little boy is completely healed, and he's went to normal school, and he's in a school. I think he's 12 or 14 years old now, and he's back up to grade in everything, and he's in a normal class. He's not even in a special ed class. Now, that's what the prayer of faith can do with a man that believes. Now, Jeff believes, I'll tell you for sure. The other one I was going to tell you, Gideon. Yeah, what about Gideon? We had a couple contact us from Pittsburgh, and they have a little boy, 2 years old, and he's named Gideon. And he's now then within 3 weeks of dying because his kidneys are not working. So whenever the doctors told him he's got about 3 weeks to live, there's nothing we can do. It's impossible. He can't live. So I called in Jeff and I said, Jeff, I want you to call this couple. I want you to inquire of the Lord, ask him what he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it. And if he wants you to go up there, I said, I'll buy you a ticket. I'll furnish your hotel room and everything under this one. And you go up to Pennsylvania and you find these parents' sins and you get it taken care of, and then you pray the prayer of faith for this boy, and we'll go from there. So Jeff prayed, talked to the Lord. The Lord began to reveal to him some of the things that was an issue in the family, and he said, I'll go, Pastor. I said, okay. So we bought him a ticket. He went up there, and when he got there, little Gideon had taken on like 26 or 7 pounds of extra water because he couldn't go to the bathroom. He was this big. A little tiny boy this big is huge like this, like a balloon. Couldn't go to the bathroom. Jeff found the sins of this couple. Now, this is a blessing that the Lord has revealed to me over the years that we've been able to use with many other pastors, that if they will believe this, they can get their children well. And here's something that you need to know. If you have a sick child, you have a problem between mom and daddy every time. You know that? Every time. So anyway, Jeff found the problem between mother and daddy, got them to acknowledge that they were wrong, that they repented to each other, and they made up and got things right. And God, you talk about God being there. Jeff prayed a prayer of faith for this little boy, Gideon, after mother and daddy repented. And in a matter of an hour, I mean, actually right then, he told his mother he had to go to the bathroom. His kidneys were not working at all. Now then, his kidneys are working, and within just a few days, little Gideon had passed all that water. His kidneys were working perfect. And then Cheryl and I went to Baltimore, a few months later, and he was there with his mother and dad, and he's a normal little two-year-old running up and down the hallway like all the rest of them, screaming and having a good time. Jeff prayed both those prayers and found out those problems with both those problems. But now then, Jeff's got something he wants to tell y'all. So Jeff, come up and tell them what you want to tell them. I just wanted some of you to know where he come from and what he does around here.
Praise the Lord. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Well, I tell you what, it has been an amazing journey the last almost 6 years of being here. And the Word of God, as Pastor Thumman said, works always, period. And it's us, the more that we grab a hold of that, the more we listen, it just becomes easy. It becomes second nature. It does become. There's so many others that, you know, I love it when Pastor tells testimonies. Because there's literally thousands, and every now and then I'll be around Pastor and hear one that I hadn't heard before. In 6 years of being here, I hadn't heard it before, and it just makes your spirit leap inside. It really is. It's awesome. I'm so grateful for Pastor and for Cheryl and for the ministry. This is my last Sunday ministering here. I feel like the Lord's moving me on, and I don't know yet what I'm going to be doing. I very much covet your prayers. And let me just share with you a couple of specifics. The Word of God works all the time for us too, which means that when we don't do what we're supposed to do, the Bible actually says that those that are teachers are judged in a stricter way. Now, the scripture Jesus himself said, to whom much is given, much is required. And I've noticed in me that I have felt some dryness in my walk with the Lord. Messages that God uses me to speak still absolutely right on and from the Lord. But there's times where I've allowed stuff to bug me and taken an offense, or where I've noticed that my patience is less with something, or I've got less compassion for somebody. And I don't like that. And whenever I do that, that's sin. And it gives the enemy an open door. And I've noticed, you know, at times the enemy's affected my sleep. I've had my vehicle, you know, had damage to it from rats. I had damage to it from hail. And just like you, part of what we're learning is, okay, Lord, what's going on? You know, what open doors are going on? And one of the things this last week is the Lord told me I had taken some offense in some areas. And again, just like for you, it works for us too. And an open door allows the enemy to attack. And I will say this. Because we stand sometimes in a position of, hey, we know how it works, sometimes we don't convey as much to you that we need your prayers. And so I'll just say right now, we need your prayers very much. Pastor Thurman and Cheryl need your prayers. It's the same for us as it is for you. And the enemy tests us. And again, the Lord gives him. The Bible says that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. So there is a certain latitude that the enemy's given to say, okay, I'm going to poke and see if you stand firm and you rebuke it and you realize your authority, or if you let it mess with you. And I've noticed in me, just confessing, that it's messed with me from time to time. And so again, just one of those things, okay, Lord, my ears perk up a little bit. All right, Lord, I can see that something needs to change in me. And one of the things that the Lord put on my heart, and I shared this before even I went to Ecuador, is it's more important to sit at the feet of Jesus than it even is to do stuff for him in the other room. Now, can we sit at his feet and minister? Absolutely. But sometimes we have to be honest and say, okay, Lord, apparently I'm not doing that as well as I should. And so I've been praying about, okay, Lord, what's the answer? Again, still seeing, in fact, seeing more answers to prayer now than ever before, seeing more anointing and as far as the message is concerned, but also seeing, okay, Lord, I've recognized that there's some open doors. I had thousands of dollars this year stolen from me. And, okay, Lord, I recognize that that could not have happened unless there was places in me that had internalized stuff, taken stuff in, grumbled or complained or taken offense in something. And anyway, through a bunch of prayer this last week, I shared with Pastor Thurman and Cheryl this morning, I feel like the Lord's moving me on. And I don't have another church that I'm going to. I'm not starting a church, not starting a ministry. I'm not going to be preaching anywhere else. But the Lord's going to be working on my heart. And when he does this, Genesis 1 talks about times and seasons. Everything the Lord does is times and seasons. You know, you look at a tree in the wintertime, and it's not real pretty. not doing anything seems seemingly useful. But in the wintertime, a tree, literally the wind blowing a tree and the trials, the storms, are literally working sap up the tree so that for the next season, the leaves are ready to go and the fruit, and it bears fruit again. And again, we're never given an excuse, so to speak, to sit on the sideline and sin or whatever. But the Lord does do things in seasons in us. And so I shared with Pastor Thurman and Cheryl this morning that I felt like the Lord said, okay, it's time. And so I love you guys dearly. Most of you have had an ability to connect with and pray for and love on, and you've loved on me, and I appreciate that greatly. And again, I just so grateful for Pastor Thurman and for Cheryl. I do appreciate you very much. So, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good man. Praise the Lord. We're going to ask the Lord to bless Jeff as he goes, and then what I would like for all of you, since we know he's going to have no source of income after this week, and so I would like if anybody would want to help him in whatever he does. I know it still costs money. If you want to help him, you can either give him a check or put it in the box over there. Make it out to Jeff Coulter. Anything that's in that box that says Jeff Coulter this week will go to Jeff for his whatever he's going to do, because it's going to cost money to live. All of y'all know that, don't you? So I'm hoping that he's got $1 million in the bank. If he's like me, don't have. But we got a little in the bank, and we will help him. And I know that y'all will want to help him. And if you want to help him in the future, you can come by. We'll always know where he's at, because his son still works for us too. And you know, if you want to come by in a week or two or three and leave a check for Jeff until he finds whatever he's going to do, whatever the Lord's going to help him out. But I know God's going to lead him somewhere in the right place, because I've seen too many awesome answers to prayer to this man's prayers.
Amen.
You know, so anytime God answers the prayers for Jeff, and we've sent Jeff several places all over the country. He's really had some tough nights and days going out praying for the sick. But that's what the Lord told us to do, wasn't it, Jeff?
That's right.
And so as he's went, he's really gotten a lot of people healed. And, of course, a lot of mothers and fathers are really grateful that their children are healed, because Jeff went and took his time and everything and effort to find the problems and anoint the people, to pray over the people, and then pray over their children and see some awesome things happen. I mean, those two testimonies I told y'all are not normal little testimonies that happen. Those are supernatural healings that almost, in fact, because of a man in Norway heard that teaching that Jeff done about how he got that Down syndrome child healed. Last healing school, that man and woman came from
Sweden.
Yeah, they came from Sweden here to be prayed for because they heard that testimony. They know now there is a man, a place somewhere that they can be prayed for and get healed. And Jeff is that place. So this is good soil. So anyway, we're going to miss him. He's been here and he makes lots of prayer calls every day, all during the week. But we're not going to be far away. He's still going to be right here in the area right now, so we're not going to run him off. He's like he said, he's going to be here, and he's got a car, a nice car, in fact, an early new car, so he's got transportation, and he's got a place to live and everything, so he'll be here. So, but anyway, in the next few days or a few weeks or whatever, if you want to help him do anything, we'll just either come by, whatever, put a check in the box and put his name on it, and we'll make sure he gets it, so it'll be his. Okay, so praise God, Jeff. It's been a wonderful thing to have you.
Love you, Pastor.
We love you. Praise the Lord. And thank you for all those prayers.
Pray for him.
Yes, I'm going to do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're all going to be in agreement today. You said if just two of us on earth agree about anything, you'll do it. So we're going to be in agreement that you're going to continue to use Jeff in a mighty way to pray for the people, to share with what he's learned about all what you've taught him about healing the sick and getting people's children healed. And I know you're going to use Jeff in a mighty way. I don't know what you had, but I know you had a plan. 6 years ago when you told him to come here, because I know that was the will of God, because the Spirit of God told him to come here, and a prophet told me he is coming. And so he has come and been here now nearly 6 years. And so I know God's leading Jeff, and I ask the Lord to continue to bless him and really do a great work in his life as he goes out serving the Lord. And we're so grateful. And Jeff, we're going to be here anytime you need us. We're not very far away. So in Jesus' name, bless Jeff. Can we be in agreement with that prayer?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jeff. Amen. 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 Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'll tell you this. 107, Psalm 107, 107:20. Does anybody know what Psalm 107 verse 20 says? What's that, Miss Jackie? Wow. Just his word. So you don't really, there's a place where you don't even have to have a pastor or nothing doing nothing. He sent his word. There was a young lady up there, what was her name, Linda? At the meeting in Des Moines. And she said she'd had all these little problems wrong with her body, all kinds of little things wrong. And she says that, I've been in church all my life. I've never been prayed for healing. Never didn't dream God does heal. And I certainly didn't know that sickness and sin were directly related. She said, I had never heard that. So she said, somebody, one day I was kind of grumbling about whatever problem she had, and somebody said, let me give you a CD. Listen to this. And so she did. She said, I listened to that CD, and it was all talking about healing. I don't have any idea which one of them it was. But anyway, she said, I listened to that and listened to that. And she said, I got to thinking, I've been in church all of my life. I've never heard anybody say that God sent his word and healed me. But she said, there I looked in the Bible, and it, lo and behold, it was in the Bible. So she said, I thought, okay, Lord. And then I read the Psalm 103 that says, you know, where he, if I bless him and praise him and worship him and do all those things, that he will forgive all my iniquities, and then he will heal all of my diseases. She says, I never heard that. So she said, I thought, okay, Lord, I'm just going to start praising you and worshiping you and thanking you. And then every time something comes upon me, a pain or whatever, I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I repent for whatever caused that pain. I'm going to walk in love with you and everybody from this day forth. I'm not going to be bitter or unforgiveness toward no one. I'm going to walk in love. So she said, I started doing that. And then she said, one day I got the feeling really, really good. And I got to thinking, wow, I haven't even had anybody pray for me. And she said, I got to checking my body, and every sickness that was on my body was gone. Amen. I was completely healed, and I didn't even have nobody pray for me. All I did was just have the word. So that's all it takes. He didn't send Jeff Coulter to heal you. He didn't send Thurman Scrivener to heal you. He sent his word to heal you. Is that right?
That's right.
But some of us have to take his word, and that's where you and me come in, Jeff. We go and we take his word and we present his word to people, and we believe that God will heal them, and they get healed. Now then, before we go to prayer time, to get those of you, I know, saw a young lady on the back row back there a while ago that's got an oxygen thing on and everything. And she needs some new lungs, but she needs somebody like Mike and Gracie or Kim and Scott or whatever to deal with her and show her where she has missed it. Because as we all know here that have been coming here a long time, we all know what the biggest sin in the world is.
Unbelief
of the promises of God. You don't have to go out and kill somebody, murder somebody, or rape somebody, or have an abortion to be in sin. Just not believe the promises of God is sin, and it'll keep you from getting healed. It sure did Paula for a long time, didn't it, Paula? But so anyway, this couple back there on the back, y'all will need, in fact, let me have my prayer warriors stand up, Mike, Gracie, Scott, Kim, y'all, any other prayer warriors, of course, Jeff's definitely one of the prayer warriors.
Sure.
So, and me and Cheryl is one of the prayer warriors. And Dave, wherever Dave's at, he's back there somewhere up on top or something. But Dave, you saw him up here a while ago. He's a prayer warrior. And he knows how to get you healed, I guarantee. So when we close in prayer, I want you to find one of these people and sit down with them. If you have any kind of a problem, if anything wrong with you at all, anything, find you a prayer warrior and let them agree with you and pray with you. And if you will believe, now, like I say, now, the reason I use Miss Paula, because some of you will be just like she was, she came over and she believed with all she could believe that she received that day, but she went home and her pain didn't go away. It was still there. So you didn't give up and say it didn't work.
No.
You come back next Sunday, and you kept listening, and you kept hearing God's word, and you keep learning and learning, and you don't even realize your faith level is rising all this time. One day your faith level popped out the top. And when your faith level popped out the top, what happened to your body? You was healed. And she's been healed ever since. So isn't it wonderful that he sent his word? Now then, if you don't have the word in you, that's what these folks will do for you. Jeff and Kim and Scott and Mike and Gracie and Dave and me and Cheryl. We will build your faith and show you what you've done wrong. And of course, if you obey God's word and do what he says, you will be delivered and you will be healed. Just like little Linda, when she just believed God's word and didn't even get prayed for. In fact, you didn't either. I mean, Kim, whenever her and Scott were there at Dallas when they come years ago, she wouldn't even come down that day, so she didn't get healed. But that day, the Lord, I'll never forget that day. There was probably 100 people or 125 people in church that day, and the Lord just spoke to me as I got up on the platform. He said, "Son, many of my people are sick with pain in their bodies, and I want you to call those people up that have pain, and I want to heal all the people that have pain." Now, he didn't say he was going to heal everybody for everything. He said, "If you got a pain." And so I give that invitation, and about 25 or 30 people started coming down, and Cheryl wasn't my wife at the time. She was just one of the ladies there, and she said, "You know, I'm bound to have something I can have him pray for me for." She didn't have a single thing. She had a pain in her body nowhere that day. Now, she's had plenty of pain since then, and I've prayed for her many a time since then. But, you know, we use that just like Scott and Kim do. We use that prayer of agreement regularly because it works. I mean, God didn't make his word difficult. He made it wonderful and lovely. And so anyway, when we prayed for those people, you know, that day, everybody we prayed for, everybody, it took 2 hours to pray for those people. I'll never forget that, you know. Most of them I didn't pray for. I just would lay hands on them, and I'd say, "Okay, now then, where's your pain?" And they'd say, "Over here, or over here, whatever." And so I'd touch it and say, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And they'd say, "Oh my gosh, my pain just left. I'm okay." I said, "Well, when the pain goes away, go sit down." And in 2 hours, everybody there got healed. And the next few Sundays, every Sunday for 2 or 3 or 4 Sundays, I'd ask who was here the Sunday we prayed for everybody as a group. And there was always several people there. And I said, "How many of y'all got healed?" And they held their hand up. Everybody, far as I know, everybody that was there that day, of course, they're a result of that. They got healed, and they're still healed after all this time. So we're grateful to the Lord for what he does. He is the healer, is he not, ladies and gentlemen? So praise the Lord. So anyway, after we close in prayer, if you want to come to any one of us, we will come. If you want to give a donation, and like I say, if you want to give Jeff some money today, you know, you can either give it to him or you can write it in a check. And if you want that donation receipt from the ministries where you can deduct it from your taxes, put it on there to the Living Savior Ministries, but down in the bottom left corner, put down Jeff Coulter. If you put that on there, then we'll make sure that every one of those checks, we'll convert it to cash and make sure he gets everything that's given to him today. So who knows what God will use him for, but he may have a plan. And if he has a plan, when I say if he has a plan, what do you give me a break? If he has a plan. We know he has a plan. God never does anything without a plan. You know, so you can't ever tell. You can't ever tell. He might be wanting to bless Jeff with a $20,000 check today or something. You can't tell what he's going to do. I mean, is that out of reach for God? Of course not. He can do anything. He may have a plan for him to go do something, and it may take $50,000 for him to do it. And if he can do that, that reminds me of that guy that was going to take up a collection. It was a Pentecostal group, and I can't think of that guy's name. He used to have real big thick glasses, but anyway, he was asked to do the speech for this donation deal that he's getting in, that they needed to raise $1 million. And so there were several thousand people there, and he gets up there on the platform, and he has worked on this speech. He's got it ready. I mean, he's ready to speak, and he gets up there and he's on the platform. And he sets his paperwork down, and he starts to speak, and he looks up, and all of a sudden, some guy jumps out of the aisleway and starts running around, jumping around like a bunny rabbit. And he said, "Now I wonder who that crazy guy is." And so this guy is jumping around, you know, "No, you need to give into this ministry." And this guy's jumping. He said, "Lord, kill him. Lord, kill him. He's going to ruin my speech. Nobody's going to give anything." The guy runs up and down the aisles. He runs in and touches people, say, "You need to give." You know, he's running over the place doing all kinds of stupid things. And finally, he just backs off. He says, "God, I give up. Kill him, kill him, kill him." And so finally, he said, the guy just comes, sat back down in his chair. He said, people had just started coming to the buckets and putting money in the buckets. He said, "I never got to say a word."
He said when it was all over, there was $1.5 million in the bucket. Now, y'all see, God, he always has a plan. You could understand how that guy thought he was crazy, right? Oh, God, kill him. I've heard him give that testimony 2 or 3 times, and every time I hear that, when he says, oh, God, kill him, I thought, well, that just sounds just like me. You know, I would be thinking, I have a hand in this, and God, I ain't got no hand in it at all. God's in total control. And that's one thing Jeff and I have learned over the years. Our master is in total control, is he not, Jeff? That's why the master can say, in all things give thanks, because he knows he's in charge, and the sooner we learn he's in charge, the better it works for us. So God is out of this world. He is something else. So anyway, Father, I thank you and praise you for all the wonderful things you've done with Jeff and us over the last 6 years. I thank you for all the blessings. I thank you for all the people that we've had the privilege to send him out to minister to, which there's been many. And many of them, Lord, not every one, but many of them have been healed. So many of them, they're children. And Lord, we're so grateful because these little kids, like little Gideon, if he'd have died, like the doctor said, who knows what would have happened and what the world would be cheated of, what that little boy is going to do for society. There's no telling. But God, you know what you're doing. And we thank you and praise you for all the things you're doing. And then, Lord, as we pray for people and our prayer warriors, I ask you to give the prayer warriors knowledge, wisdom, revelation, understanding, that they'll know exactly what to do and how to do it and how to pray for people, so that everybody that leaves out of this place today will meet the criteria that you said. If they will confess their sin, you will forgive their sins, and then you will heal all of their diseases. So, Lord, heal everybody that comes up for prayer today and use them mightily for your glory. And we're so grateful that you're our King, and we love you, Lord, and we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.